Welcome back. Today marks the beginning of the final 3 weeks of the Supreme Court's term. And while we wait for decisions on President Obama's health care reform and Arizona's anti-immigration law, there's another politically charged case on the docket as well. Thursday, the court will consider American Tradition Partnership versus Bullock, or as we're calling it, Citizens United, the sequel. This case involves a century-old Montana law put in place by voters in 1912 because of political corruption in that state's mining industry. But the group American Tradition Partnership, which says it fights radical environmentalism, argues that the Montana law unfairly restricts the ability of corporations to engage in the political process which also affects them. That was the same reasoning the Supreme Court applied in the 2010 Citizens United decision that corporations and individuals have the right to unlimited spending on campaigns. Emily Bazelon is legal affairs editor for Slate. So, Emily, are backers of the Montana law, and they include Attorney General Steve Bullock, now a Democratic gubernatorial candidate, are they saying the court needs to reexamine Citizens in order to consider their law?
They're arguing two things. The first thing they're arguing is that Montana's law is different. It's based on Montana's history and should be upheld despite Citizens United. In other words, that states should have the authority to regulate their own campaign finance independent of what the Supreme Court decides about what Congress can do.
And by the way, there are other states joining with Montana in this pitch.
Yes, 22 states have joined Montana in arguing exactly the same thing. This is really a matter of state law in state elections, and that the Supreme Court's quite sweeping ruling in Citizens United should not apply to them. The second point is, yes, it's about revisiting Citizens United and the idea that this was a misguided decision which really misread the potential for corruption or the appearance of corruption in having unlimited corporate donations and unlimited union donations.
Well, Montana voters approved this law way back in 1912 after a man named William Clark, who'd become one of the wealthiest men in the world when he discovered a huge copper vein near Butte, Montana, basically bought a Senate seat, paying off members of the state legislature who in those days appointed U.S. senators. The U.S. Senate kicked him out when they found out how he'd gotten the seat. He reportedly complained, "I never bought a man who wasn't for sale." But the state resolved not to have this happen again. You know, somebody just able to use money to buy an election. Tell us more about how the American Tradition Partnership, this group that's fighting Montana, is fighting back on that claim.
They're a group that protests things like mining restrictions and other environmental regulations. They want a very pro-business, pro-development Montana. And one of the pitches they made to potential donors was, look, if you donate to us, nobody's going to know it was you. They were very explicit about the idea that one of the goals of using them and of this court challenge is not disclosing the identity of donors.
Which, according to the Supreme Court ruling, is okay. And this is what super PACs now do. You don't have to disclose.
Right. Although there's a confusing part of Citizens United in this regard, which was that Justice Kennedy, who wrote that decision, made a big deal of the idea that we were still going to have disclosure. And that's just not how it's developing in the lower courts. And as super PACs actually play out, there's a lot of room for not disclosing. And so one of the arguments Montana is making is, look, we have very easy to follow rules for political action committees. Corporations can make unlimited gifts through them. We just want those rules to be in place to ensure disclosure and reporting.
So what would happen to, for instance, American Tradition Partnership if, in fact, let's just say the Supreme Court agreed with Montana?
They wouldn't be able to spend based on unlimited gifts that they're getting from corporations without disclosing those corporations' identities. And instead, the corporations would have to form their own political action committees to influence elections.
Well, so how do you see this case, Emily? The Citizens United decision was based on the First Amendment, freedom of speech, basically saying that money is speech and can't be restricted. Is this a freedom of speech versus states' rights?
It sort of is if you buy that interpretation of the First Amendment. It's a case in which basically the states are saying, we want to make our own rules. Please don't apply this very broad interpretation of free speech, money equals speech, to us and our laws. Maybe you ought to rethink that interpretation because it's based on this idea that we're not going to have a problem with corruption or the appearance of corruption as long as these corporate expenditures are, quote, independent. The whole idea of the super PACs being independent is really not what we're seeing actually come to pass. Some candidates like John Huntsman have had PACs, super PACs that have been started by their close relatives. Other people, it's very close supporters. The candidates aren't allowed, as we've seen Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart make endless fun of, the candidates are not allowed to give directions to these super PACs about what to do privately, but they're allowed to say publicly whatever they want. And so the idea that these groups are really operating independently of campaigns and that the people giving them are not having some real influence with the candidates is coming to seem pretty laughable.
As the High Court considers this, are we going to be hearing about things like that? In other words, how deep into the effects of Citizens United is the court expected to go?
The court has a choice. The court could just summarily reverse the Montana Supreme Court decision, say, in light of Citizens United, sorry, Montana, your campaign finance law has to go. Or the court could grant a hearing in this case and essentially rehear the issues in Citizens United with all the evidence that has come in about expenditures and super PACs in the 2012 election. And so that's the big question, is how the Supreme Court will choose to handle this case.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? SCOTUS blog writes about how retired Justice Stevens spoke at the University of Arkansas in May and made headlines because he indicated that the court is already having second thoughts about the reasoning in the Citizens United opinion. But SCOTUS blog also goes on to say that, you know, Stevens' remarks might rankle the court, which had already been rankled by President Obama's criticisms at his State of the Union. This was days after the ruling. Remember, he said, you know, how Citizens United was going to open up a can of worms, essentially, and Justice Alito mouthed the words, "not true." So there's already a lot of bruised feelings here. Is Stevens right that there are second thoughts, or is even saying that the court is having second thoughts going to make them not have second thoughts?
Well, we do know that two of the justices, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer, have second thoughts. They have said we should grant full review of this Montana case and relitigate all these issues. One imagines that Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor, who often vote on the center-left with Breyer and Ginsburg, also are given pause by the way Citizens United has played out. And we don't know about the other justices. It only takes four justices to decide to fully hear a case, even though it takes five to render a ruling, and in this case, to overturn Citizens United. So one of the kind of, you know, backroom questions about this case is whether the four justices who are the moderate liberals on the court will decide to rehear the case, even if they don't think they can win, in order to give a lot of attention and shine a light on the role of super PACs since Citizens United.
Emily Bazelon, legal affairs editor at Slate. We'll keep watching this. Emily, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
So do you think the courts will reconsider Citizens? Should they? Let us know your thoughts. hereandnow.org. Be right back.